Amen. Chapter 4. In chapter 3, we're in Genesis, of course. You all know that. In chapter 3, we were showing the root of sin in the individual. Now in chapter 4, we're going to see the fruit of sin in the family. We're going to carry right on. Now I was reminded Thursday night, Brother Yates reminded us that really this is a library of 66 books. And he said Genesis is the most important book in the library. And then he went on to tell us that the first 11 chapters are the most important because the enemy really attacks that. You've seen that, especially the evolutionists attacking the flood and chapter 1, the creation. And then J. Vernon McGee told us chapter 3 is the most important chapter. And we saw in there 17 times each the most important word used 17 times. And I think we all know what we're supposed to eat. And I think we all know we're not supposed to bring a world in and digest it.
That is true.
I think we know what not to eat. I'm not going to have a lesson on that. I think we all know what to eat and what not to eat. I'm not going to have a lesson on that. But I think we know. And I'm learning Noah and Mrs. Noah, our grandparents, and Adam and Eve were our great-grandparents, and the apples don't fall far from the tree. We haven't improved much.
Right.
Matter of fact, I don't think we've improved any.
Right.
Just to tell you the truth. Chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, she just got the promise, that mankind just got the promise back in 2:15. Just a few verses back. And I'm thinking, she's thinking, surely it's me. I'm the one that's going to have the Messiah. Right here. I bet you this baby's it. Surely my baby is going to be the Messiah. But 3:15 says, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And Eve didn't have a seed. No woman has a seed except one. Man has a seed. A woman has an egg. And so Eve was confused right here. All right, let's look at that, though, in Luke 1. Maybe we could just sneak over and see when it happens. It's going to be down the road a few years. There may be several assume it's them and think, surely it's me. But Luke 1:35 might not be on your paper, might not be in my Bible. I don't know if I can find it here or not. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest is going to put the seed in there and shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, that seed of a woman, it's the only time it ever happened right here, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. Notice that's not above women, but among women. Mary was not the mother of God. She birthed the body that God used to come into this world with. Mary is not the mother of God. She's blessed among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The seed of a woman is what the fruit of thy womb was. And then in verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary needed a Savior too, and she's the first one to call Him God. The seed of the woman. And then it's Genesis 4:1, there's the first baby. The first baby. She says, I've got a man-child from the Lord. Verse 2, and she again bears brother Abel, And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. Now, Abel is the sacrificing shepherd. We'll see in a little bit down through here. There's many shepherds in the Bible. Abraham's the rich father shepherd. Jacob's the toiling shepherd. Joseph, the exalted shepherd. Moses, the delivering shepherd. And David, the royal reigning shepherd. Of course, Jesus is the good shepherd of the past. And in Psalm 22, we sing, dying for the sheep. That may be a lesson for another day. It's pretty long. But let's look at the New Testament version of that. John 10, 11, and 14. He is good, isn't he? John 10, 11, I'm the good shepherd. See, I don't think anybody else can say that. Probably red letters, isn't it? We've got to believe that there. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see it in Psalm 22, a messianic psalm. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And then you see Jesus, the great shepherd, presently living for us, resurrected from the dead in Psalm 23. Everybody knows Psalm 23. That's what that's a picture of. Let's look at it in the New Testament, Hebrews 13, 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. That great, he's not just good, he's great, isn't he? That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then if you go back to Psalm 24, you see Jesus, the chief shepherd of the future, coming back for us, returning for us. In 1 Peter 5, 4, we see the other version of that, the New Testament version, 1 Peter 5, 4. And when the chief shepherd, you line them all up, all the shepherds there are, and he's chief of all the shepherds, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Okay, back to chapter 4, verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Well, right across the page there in 2:17, the ground's cursed. And that's where Cain, he brought roasting ears and green beans and maters. And I love all those, but there was no blood in them. Not even a turnip. No blood in the turnip. And that's what he brought. He brought less than the best. He did it his own way. He did it man's way. No blood. And the fact that he brought it implies that God had told him to come to a place. This morning you came to a place. We assembled together in a place. He did come to a place, and God done given his word about it. He gave it to us. How about Hebrews 10:25? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, it exhorts each other, just the fact that we're here. That we get to shake hands, say, hi, brother, how you doing? Hi, sister, boy, it's good to see you today. Everything going good? And then right across the page there, Hebrews 11:4. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. See, you're here this morning by faith because you're interested in the blood offering that Abel was. God testified of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. And then also Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the only place I know, the only way I know you can get your faith increased is by hearing the Word of God. You can read it by yourself, it'll be the same thing. But the Word of God is what increases our faith. You can't get it out of Reader's Digest or the TV Digest or anywhere else. It's got to come out of the Word of God. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now, firstlings means the best. He brought the best lamb for a sacrifice. It was fat. It had been fattened up for the kill. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. That's because Abel obeyed and did it the way God told him to. The first thing, the best. Abel came God's way, the blood way, with respect. You see it back in 3:21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. He showed Abel how to do it, and Abel followed, and Abel listened. He brought a blood sacrifice. He brought the best he had. He brought the best. Then 5-7. But unto Cain, unto his offering, he had not respect. Just talking about God didn't receive it. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now let me ask you, what sin was that was laying at the door? Was it a cigar? Was it a can of beer? What was it? Which sin was laying at the door? Don't change your Bible, but I just want you to know that sometimes the word sin means sin offering. It's the picture of it. The number one definition for sin is act or attitude. But the number two definition for sin is a sin offering. And that's the only thing that makes sense here. For one thing, a cigar or a can of beer don't lie. It just doesn't make sense. But a lamb or a calf, sin offering lieth at the door, and unto these shall be his. His refers back up to the offering.
Right.
His desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Him refers back up to the offering. The Lord had a lamb already ready, or a calf already ready for Cain. And all he had to do was accept it. And its desire was toward him. We already have the idea of this offering. In verse 3, you see the word offering. In verse 4, you see the word offering. And in verse 5, you see the word offering. We're already ready for that to be a sin offering. God's already getting that in our mind. Don't change your Bible, but sometimes the word sin means a sin offering. Cain wouldn't do this. He wanted to stick with the vegetables and fruit. And his offering denied that man was separate from God. He's saying, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm not separate from God. And not all are born children of God. Matter of fact, not any.
Right.
I mean, you must get born again.
Amen.
Not everybody's right with God. Cain wasn't right with God. This offering that Cain brought denied that man cannot offer good works. That's what he brought. That's what he was stating. It denied that the human nature is evil. He brought an offering, but he did not come by faith. He didn't do what God said in 3:21. God didn't just say it, he demonstrated it. And Adam and Eve got it. Abel got it. Cain didn't want it. Romans 10:3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. See, Cain wasn't ignorant about it. So we're going to go ahead and call him an apostate. An apostate knows the truth and departs from it on purpose.
Yes. Amen.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, ears of corn, green beans, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The cross of Calvary, the blood sacrifice. God's religion can only come to you. Righteousness. Religion is our attempt to be acceptable to God. And the only way is by the cross, by that blood sacrifice. Let's look at it again there in Romans 4:25. Who was delivered, talking about the Lord up in verse 24, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses, for Rick's offenses, and was raised again for our justification, just like we read Isaiah 53 last week. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made God hath made him Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then Philippians 3:8-9. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Cain's anger is backed by jealousy and pride. His anger got him in trouble, his wrath. And then again, back in chapter 4, that sin offering, his desire. I mean, a can of beer or a cigar doesn't have any desire. But the sin offering, the lamb that God had there, his desire, the definition for desire, number one, is to stretch out after. This lamb is going to go toward Cain. Number two, it says to run after or overflow. This lamb, this sin offering, is going to run to Cain. That's a lamb or a newborn calf doesn't do that. Before they're old enough to come to grain, you've got a real problem catching them. Not this one. It's like the donkey in the New Testament. It's ready for service for the Lord. You see this. You see this desire, picture of desire up in back in chapter 3, verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Sister Kim just picks up these little tidbits in the grocery store all the time for me. Just for me.
Job 31.
Job 31, 35 and 36. Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty, kept away, would answer me, and that my adversary had written a book. You know, for 21 years he was my adversary. He really was against me. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown unto me. Boy, if my adversary wrote a book, I'd get it in my head and get it in my heart. That's what Job said. That's what he said. He said, I'd get it on top of my shoulders, up here in my head and in my heart. If my adversary had just written a book, I'd do that. Song of Solomon, 7:10. Yeah. yesterday, I think it was, maybe the day before, Sister Kim fried me a whole skillet of fried potatoes. Peas. She doesn't even like peas, and she fixed peas. And cornbread, homemade cornbread. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. As far as I can see, he did it all for me. He's talking about the Lord's desire to me. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Psalm 19. Talking about desire now. This sin offerings, desires toward Cain. Cain could have had it if he wanted it. He didn't want it. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Yeah. Converting the soul. How'd you get in? The Bible's around there somewhere. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant mourned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. How you doing? I need more light. I do. But more than that, I need delight. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. See, we've had electric windows so long and air conditioning, padded pews. Brother Rick forgets about the Lord. 45:11. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. He desires us.
Yes.
He desires us. He desires our beauty. Our beauty. I don't even see any, but he desires. 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I looked that up one time. That inquire is to plow. To plow. Get in there and plow. Verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Okay, the murder's committed now. The proceedings against him are started. That anger brought him to sin, and the sin brought him to more sin. My dad said, son, don't get mad. Don't get mad. 3:15, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Talking about religion that was too refined to bring a bloody lamb, got blood out of his brother, spilled the blood of his own brother. Holy wars are fought over religion.
Yes, they are.
Psalm 37, verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Verse 14. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Verse 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. Back to chapter 4, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where's Abel thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Up and lied right there. This is his arraignment and his plea. an apostate marked by falsehood and rebellion more and more. Verse 10, we see his conviction. He said, "What hast thou done?" God talking now. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." 1 John 3, 11 and 12. So this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
Right. Right.
That was verse 10. 11 and 12 is his sentence. Back in Genesis chapter 4 now. 11 and 12 is his sentence. "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." 13 is his complaint against it. "And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment's greater than I can bear." 14 shows his guilt and fear. See, before this, Adam and Eve wasn't afraid. There was no such thing before chapter 3. And now it's multiplying. Now we've got these phobias running around. Now we're going to have to go get some treatment for them. Got some guilt and some fear here. "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." He's more concerned about his punishment than getting right. Romans 2:15. "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Now verse 15, this is the ratification of the sentence. "And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set his mark on Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." Now don't miss this. Just two more chapters, three more chapters over, chapter 7, chapter 6, chapter 7. All of Cain's descendants are destroyed in the flood. All of Cain's descendants are destroyed in the flood. All of them. Then even worse than that, maybe, verse 16, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." Again, our great-grandparents showed him how to do it. So you came this morning because you wanted to be where he's at. That's the worst thing that can ever happen to you, is to be out of the presence of the Lord. That's what hell's going to be. The worst thing about hell is God won't be there. He went from the presence of the Lord. I wouldn't leave it. Where is the Lord anyway, Brother Rick? Well, he's in the presence of the Savior. He's in the praises of his people. But he's also in the pages of the Scripture. I wouldn't leave the presence of the Lord for nothing. Cain left the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. This is the execution of the sentence. You see it in Isaiah 64:6. "For we are all an unclean thing, and all," this is "of our righteousness are as filthy rags." So he's talking about Brother Rick up front with his tie on in Sunday school doing the best he can. "It's the best I can do." And guess what? It's filthy rags. Filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Jude 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after their Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Indifference toward God's person, indifference toward God's paradise. And he goes out from the presence of the Lord to establish his own paradise, an artificial, a generic paradise, a substitute, if you will. Now he's independent from God. And what's going to end up is moral problems now. Look down in verse 19. Here's a descendant. Lamech took unto him two wives. This is the direction we're going now. See, they talk about a new morality, but it's really the old immorality.
Right.
Is what it is. Verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. That's the way we do it. Stennett Blue lives on Hallelujah Avenue, I think it is. That's his address. It's 323 Hallelujah Avenue. Why don't we name our streets like that? Why do we name them? Why do we have Children's Street and Children's Town and all that? Anyway, right here is also Cain knew his wife. Age-old verse for skeptics to get an argument started. Well, where did Cain get his wife anyway? Well, Adam and Eve, I'm going to answer for you. You don't have to believe it. It's up to you. Adam and Eve had many unnamed children. It's not written down in the book. Tradition says 33 sons and 27 daughters. And this is before the flood, and there wasn't a law against it then, but that's what they did. That's what they did after the order of Cain. 17 and 18. 17, this is still the ungodly line of Cain down to verse 25, and then we'll see the godly line of Seth. I didn't read 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on east of Eden. Maybe I did. 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. That's just what man does. 18, and unto Enoch were born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujal. Mahujal begat Methusel, and Methusel begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the other Zillah. Let's look at that just one page over in chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. 20 to 24, we see the first cowboy, rancher, musician, and craftsman. 20 to 24. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of all such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, the instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I've slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. It's getting worse and worse. More murder, more violence. 24, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. 25 is the godly line of Seth, 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. The goodly seed, the good line and the bad line, we got started right on down through here from 3:15. Here's the first prayer. It's the only way of salvation. They prayed to the Lord. Call upon, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Lord, you're great. We love you and praise you. Thank you for these brothers and sisters here that love you. Help me to do right, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.